So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of 1 Samuel. I want to get started in here. I believe the Lord has given me a word for you this morning. Simply entitled, Oil Leaks. And in 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you don't plan on finding it, say go ahead. If you have a Bible like mine, it's on page 291. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel 10 and 1. Now, then Samuel took the flask of oil, poured it on his head, kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you? Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his heritage?" Now, heritage Israel. I wasn't sure if he was going to show it on this. But I want you to take note that it has a question mark at the end of a statement. Samuel anointed him, and then he said, "Has not the Lord anointed you a ruler over his inheritance, Israel?" And then now go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. One verse of scripture there. There it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn over Saul?'" The New American Standard Version says, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." Thank you, musicians. Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, help us to receive what you have put into my spirit today. In the name of Jesus, and the church said, amen. Amen. I want you to know that in the Bible, when something had a purpose in the sanctuary of God, it had to be anointed. Now, I've been going through, part of my Bible reading this week has been in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Numbers. If you've never read through the Bible, you ought to do so, but when you get to Leviticus and Numbers, you're going to get bored out of your mind. But I can tell you this, once you get through Leviticus and Numbers, you're going to thank God for the New Testament. My Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We ain't got to do what they did. Hallelujah. But as I was reading, though, in the everything that was used in the sanctuary of God had to be anointed with oil. And if you want to be or are going to be used in the service of God, then you need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about oil, oil is representative of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when I talk about oil leaks, are you saying, Pastor, that the Holy Spirit leaks out of us? Yes and no. I want you to get the understanding that if things are not sealed in an engine compartment, there are going to be some oil leaks. And if things are not sealed in your spirit and sealed in your mind and sealed in your behavior, there are going to be some oil leaks. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that anything that was anointed would have the oil put on it by a man of God. So this is a biblical principle that's also a spiritual principle and example for us today. There is an anointing that comes from only God. Just because a man anoints you doesn't mean that God has anointed you. However, let me go one step further. That just because you have a struggle does doesn't mean that you don't have the oil. I want to say that one more time. Just because you have a struggle doesn't mean that you don't have the oil. Matter of fact, if you're going to go through a struggle, you better make sure that you have some oil. Hallelujah to God. And I know folks who think that if you are a person of God, a man of God, whom God uses, sometimes they look at you and figure that you don't ever go through anything. But I believe the opposite is true. You have something because you've been through something. You've got an anointing on you because you had to walk through some hell to get it. Can I get a good amen? But now point number one, if you're taking notes, is this. When God anoints you, he gives you a title but lets you keep your struggle. It's what produces oil. That without the struggle in your life, you wouldn't need oil. Without the friction in your life, you wouldn't need the oil. If it wasn't for the struggle, some of us wouldn't have any oil. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Now, King Saul was anointed in the text and ends with a question mark. That kind of struck me a little funny. Usually, if something is final, it is ended with a period. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Period. But here it has a question mark. But between 1 Samuel 10 and 1 Samuel 16, something shifts. Now, I know in 1 Chronicles it takes a little bit longer, but in our text, six chapters represents the anointing of Saul and the departure of the hand of God on his life. Six chapters. Something shifted in the atmosphere. Something shifted in the heavenlies. I'll tell you what it is. In chapter 15, Saul disobeyed the commands of God. And can I tell you that 99% obedience is still 100% disobedience. Now, we don't like to hear about that, Pastor. Well, it's too bad. King Saul was rejected by God, and Samuel the prophet loved Saul, so he was upset that God was rejecting Saul. And then the Lord asked Samuel the prophet, "How long are you going to cry over something that I've rejected?" My God, somebody needs to hear me. How long are you going to cry over something that God said no about? How long are you going to cry over something that God said ain't good for you? How long are you going to cry over something that God said it does not belong to you? I am talking to every person who is between chapter 10 and chapter 16. I'm talking to every person. How long are you going to cry over what you lost? When I was preparing this service or this sermon, I heard the Lord say that today's a good day to get over what you've been going through. It's a good day for you to dry up your tears, wash your face, and say, "I'm done with yesterday. I'm done with what happened to me yesterday. I'm not going to cry over what I lost. I'm not going to cry, my God, who walked out of my life. I'm not going to cry any longer over the things that I've lost, because I know who I am. I belong to Jesus, and he's got some things in store for me that eye hath not seen and ear has not heard." God said, "You lost it because I rejected it." How much time have we wasted? How much oil have we wasted trying to chase down stuff that God rejected? "But I wanted it." It ain't about you. "But Pastor, You better get over it. Because it ain't about you. God knows what you need and knows what will make you happy, even when you don't know what will make you happy. Help me, somebody. God tells Samuel, get your horn out, fill it with oil, go to Jesse's house, because there I have provided me another king for my choosing. Somewhere between chapter 10 and chapter 16, Saul lost the oil. I want you to lift your hands this way to me right now. And I want you to pray that Pastor Ronnie never loses the oil. God, I don't ever want to lose the oil. God, if I don't want to walk across the street without your oil. God, I need the presence and the touch of God on my life. And I reject what you reject and receive what you receive. And now I want you to take that same hand and lay it on yourself. Say, Lord, help me never to lose the oil. Help me to get over what I've been going through. And help me to recognize. Listen, here's what it tells me, though. It tells me that you can lose the touch of God on your life. See, there are people who are still trying to operate on yesterday's anointing. God said you can have a fresh anointing. I don't want to try to operate on yesterday's goods. I need today's goods. Yesterday's gone, but today is a brand new day. And which tells me that you can lose the touch of God on your life. Now listen to me. If you were raised in classical neo-Pentecostalism like I was raised, then you will recognize that we believed that salvation was real easy to lose. Now, I'm not so far that way anymore because I began to read the Bible for myself. Come on. And here's what I do recognize, that it is not easy for you to lay your salvation down. If you go to hell, you're going to go to hell crawling over the cross to get there, because Jesus is looking for any opportunity to restore you to his presence, not reject you from his presence. However, I do believe that you can lay it down. You can walk away from it. But in order to walk away from your salvation, you're going to walk across the cross to do so. But I do understand that the touch of God and salvation are two different things. That some of us will barely make it into heaven. But thank God we're into heaven. I'm talking about living on this earth, having a touch of the Creator on your life, having a touch of the anointing on your life, which every believer has the ability to have, but yet you lose the touch of God because you did not seal the compartment. Or you didn't keep filling up the compartment. See, oil leaves an engine either by leak or by use. Which one is it leaving your life over? By use or by leaks? Because it's not sealed. There's some things in your life that are causing it to be leaking out of your life. So now somewhere between 10 and 16, old Saul lost it. Now the Bible says that the gifts and call of God are without repentance, but you can lose your oil. You have to protect the oil, and we can't waste it on the wrong people. Woo! Now that's tight right there. That's tight. I ain't got time to get into that. I'm going to get into it either Wednesday or next Sunday. On don't waste your oil on the wrong people. I'm going to get into that. Let me just move on a little bit further. Because here's what I recognize. That although we can waste the oil, a storm can't take your oil. You got to recognize that what you go through, it has the ability to take your oil only if you let it. You know about the flood of Noah. And then then Noah released a raven. And the raven didn't come back. But then he released a dove. And it came back with an olive branch, signifying that the oil made it through the storm. God. You see, back then oil was made from olives. And so he came back with an oil, an olive branch, signifying that the oil made it through the storm. Can I tell you that your oil is strong enough to make it through the storm? Can I tell you that just because you go through a situation doesn't mean that your anointing is gone? Just because you didn't come out the way you thought it ought to come out doesn't mean that the oil was gone or the oil was wasted. The oil will make it through the storm. You just got to make sure you do too. The flood got everything, but it did not get the oil. If you ever get this oil, it will survive the storm. You can lose your job, but doesn't mean you have to lose your oil. You can lose your spouse, but it doesn't mean that you got to lose the oil. You can lose your children, but it doesn't mean that you have to lose your oil. You can lose your house, but it doesn't mean that you can have to lose the oil. You can lose your car, but it doesn't mean that you got to lose your oil. They can fire you, but it doesn't mean that you got to lose your oil, then end up better off. However, look at somebody and say, I can lose everything that's precious to me, but as long as I don't lose the oil, I'm going to be all right. Recognize it. Recognize it. Now I want you to catch this. I think I wrote this down. Your arrival somewhere doesn't mean that you were supposed to go. Pastor, I got there. Doesn't mean you're supposed to get there. And consequences are often paid on the way back. Well, I got here and nothing, and it didn't cost me nothing to get here. Oh, it's going to cost you on the way back. Come on, somebody. You can't just live life however you want to live it and don't think there's a price tag. There's a price tag. Saul is tall. He's rich. He's got the right background. So Samuel went and anointed Saul as king. Just mark that page in your Bible somewhere, and we'll be back to it another time. But on another account of the oil being applied, we see in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 12, that God told Moses to pour oil on Aaron and his sons. And then Exodus chapter 30 says, do not pour oil on the ordinary. Bump your neighbor, say, does that mean you're in trouble? No, I'll tell you it doesn't. Because there ain't no ordinary people in here. Come on, somebody. We're all extraordinary. Do not pour it on anyone else's body. Do not make any oil using the same formula. It is sacred, and you are considered sacred. Now, point number two is this. Stop pouring oil on ordinary people. Now, boy, yeah, I know I'm losing some of y'all right there. Well, Pastor, I thought it was for everybody. Salvation's for everybody. Salvation is for everybody. But some of you are using all your oil on the wrong people. Some of you are using your oil on people who don't deserve the oil. They don't want no help. Woo, I don't know if I need to preach that. I don't know if this needs to be on the internet. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Stop dating the ones who the Bible calls ordinary, but not who God has chosen for you. I'm going to go ahead and have to say it. I don't understand these people who get unevenly yoked. You can't go out into the world and try to pull somebody you like into the presence of God. You ought not like them if they don't have a relationship with God and they don't have a J-O-B. Come on, somebody. Ah, glory. But here is, but Pastor, Saul was rich and he was tall and yet he was ordinary. Your oil is too precious to waste it on ordinary people. Saul was not God's first choice. God's first choice is for God to be your king. See, when you make God your king, then he's ready to bring somebody else to you. But you got to make sure God is your king. But no, here's what the people of Israel were saying in 1 Samuel 1 through 10. They were saying, we want to be like everybody else. God didn't call you to be like everybody else. When God was the king of Israel, Israel didn't lose a battle. When God was the king of Israel, they always had provision. They always were protected. But then when Israel wanted a king named Saul, then it was Saul's responsibility for the protection of the kingdom. So God wants you to fall in love with him. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to believe that he is your king. Meanwhile, in What is it, Lauren? Meanwhile, in Homer, that's swamp people. Meanwhile, you have a freckle-faced boy named David out in the field who seems ordinary. He doesn't look very kingly. You see the difference? You look on the outward, but God looks on the inward. Here you have David, you have Saul who looks the part. But you got David, who doesn't look like the part, but my God, while everybody else is polishing their brass, he's about there polishing his gift. While everybody else is polishing their banner, he's polishing his gift of what God has given him. He's on the backside of the desert when everybody else thought that nobody was looking for him. When you thought nobody's looking for you, when the pastor didn't call you because he didn't know you left. Come on, somebody. God knows who you are, knows where you're at. And when nobody else knows, God knows exactly where you are. Hey. Glory to God. Look at somebody and tell them, I might not be rich, but I got the oil. That's what you need is the oil. Look at somebody and say, I might not be handsome, but I got the oil. Listen, when you got the oil, some of y'all ask me, Pastor, how did you get somebody like Sherry, my wife? Well, it was easy. She begged me to marry her. No. God slew her in the spirit. It took God slapping her down and showing everything that she had been praying for was in moi. You ask her the story. I mean, she went out in the spirit and the Lord had to show her all the attributes that I possessed because she couldn't see it. Somebody hear me. And you looking on the outside, I want this one and I want that one and I want this job and I want that career, when you don't even know that God knows what's down inside of you, when nobody else can see what's inside of you. And he not only knows the person that you need in your life, he knows the career you need in your life. He knows the gifts that you need in your life. You just got to make sure you stay oiled up. Woo! My God. I might have to raise my child without a father, but I won't raise him without the oil. Quit crying over everybody who left your life. He said, pour that oil on Aaron and his sons. Then it says how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there I've commanded the blessing. It's like the oil of Aaron's head that goes down his beard, gets into his clothes, puddles around his feet and sons, and they were anointed. Because when you have a real anointing, there isn't anything in your house that shouldn't be anointed. Everything in my house is anointed. Come on, somebody. See, but now here's the thing. Now here's where I want to get. Because I was reading about the oil, and I came across some study notes about oil that had it lots of uses in the Bible. And I read in the Bible what all the uses that it had. In the Old Testament, everything that was used in the tabernacle had to be anointed with oil. Kings were anointed with oil. Prophets were anointed with oil. But here's a side note that when I began to read this, the Lord began to just shake me up, man, is that shepherds would use oil to pour on the sheep and on the ram's head for a couple of purposes. Are you ready? Number one, the oil would drive out and the mites out of the ram's ears. See, when you got the oil, everybody and the devil won't be able to be speaking in your ear. It will drive out those mites that are aggravating you and speaking into your life that you ain't nothing, that you ain't ever going to be nothing, that you ain't ever going to have more than what you have. But when the oil is on you, it drives out the mites. It drives out the devil. It drives out what the people used to say about you and begins to, it drives away the devil so that you can hear what God is saying about you. My God, somebody hear me. Y'all don't make me preach about the anointing that shuts the enemy's mouth. Come on, somebody. You listen, the anointing of God shuts the devil's mouth. It shuts it. Matter of fact, the Bible says the praises of his people will shut the enemy's mouth. Listen, when you are anointed, sometimes you need the anointing just to drive away all the stuff that's been listening to you. Can I be very transparent? I won't go completely transparent because it would be self-serving and I won't do that. But this past week, before I started working on the sermon, there were some things that the devil was just speaking into my ear. And he was telling me some stuff and I started believing it. And I started going down. I started getting a little... I don't ever get off, but I was getting a little off. And a friend of mine called me. Matter of fact, he don't normally call me, but he called me. He said, "Hey, Ronnie, I had a dream about you last night." He said, "I just had to call you, man. And I just want you to know," he said, "I've never ever," he said, "and you might not be now." He said, "but I saw you in my dream depressed." He said, "I've never known you to be depressed or even a little bit, and I don't get depressed. But I was listening." And he said, "I just wanted to call and tell you that God's got you. I just wanted to call and tell you." He shared some other things with me that I won't share because it would be self-serving for me to share. And then yesterday, I went to did a wedding, and somebody else came and began to speak to me, and it was a positive instead of a negative. And then I got a word today from somebody on a messenger, it was a word. And then I met somebody Friday night, and then was giving me a word. What are you saying? I'm telling you that if you don't have the oil, that you will let the devil talk to you and take you into the depression or take you down or fight you out of your miracle or fight you out of your joy or fight you whatever. But that's why you got to have the oil. In the Old Testament days, the shepherd would put the oil on the rams to keep the mites out of its ear. I've come by to tell you that some of us need a good dose of the oil to keep the mites out of our ear and turn around and tell the devil, "Not today, devil, not today. It ain't going to work today because I'm in the house of God and the oil is flowing in the house." Hey, all right, are you ready? Here comes the secondly. They would put oil on the ram's head, on the horns specifically, because when it was time for the rams to mate, the males with the horns would often fight to the death to mate with a female. Some things have never changed. But a dead ram is no good to a shepherd. So what he would do would be he would apply the oil to the ram's horns, and when they would butt heads, there was no friction, so they could not lock horns, so it would just slide off. My God, somebody here. It would just slide off. If you find yourself fighting every battle that comes your way, it might be because there's no oil and there's too much friction. But my God, when you get the oil, stuff that hits you just bounces off of you and just slides off of you. It won't stick because of the oil. It won't stick because of the anointing. You need the oil on your life and on your mouth and on your spirit and on your head so that when the devil tries to butt heads with you, it just slides right off. My God, you missed a good point to shout right there. The oil created an environment where friction was not possible. Any mechanic in here, and I'm not even a mechanic and I know this, that if there's not oil in the engine, it's going to start knocking. And if it starts knocking, if it's not all applied, it's going to throw a rod somewhere. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all are throwing a rod in your spirit because you're not anointed. You done lost the oil. You done been out and around folks enough that you ain't been in the house of God. You ain't been under the presence of God enough for you to let the anointing, the oil be applied to your head, be applied to your spirit. And you're about to throw a rod of what you're going through, baby. But I've come by to tell you that God is in the house today to anoint you with oil, so that when the devil comes at you, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Some of you wondering how you made it through. It's the oil. How did I didn't blow my brains out of the oil? How did I just kill myself? The oil. That's the only way you made it through. Why did I jump off the bridge? Because it was the oil. He anointed your head with oil. That's how you survived the car accident. Come on. He anointed your head with oil. It wasn't the airbags. It was the oil. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been broken and wounded in ministry, and you wonder, how in the world have I kept my mind, how I kept my peace when the enemy was hitting my head so hard and so spiritually? Because of the oil. It was not tough thinking. It was his oil. Some of you wondering how you made it through. It wasn't rehab. It was the oil. How I made it through. How did I make it out of that situation? It wasn't good choices because you didn't make any. It was the oil. I'm not rich, but I'm anointed. I'm telling you, it was not my intellect. It was not me working things out that got me here. It was the oil that was applied by the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. He has anointed my head with oil. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody in the place today who can declare, if it had not been for the oil, if it had not been for the anointing, if it had not, I don't know where I would be today if it had not been for the oil. Declare to somebody, I didn't deserve it, but I got the oil. I'm not smart enough, but I got the oil. I'm not rich enough, but I'm anointed. I got a rickety car, but I got the oil. Come on, somebody. I got a rickety house, but I got the oil. I got a rickety marriage right now, but I got the oil. We're going to make it through. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. My God, I wish you could get this. I want you to lay hands on yourself real quickly and just say, I anoint my head with oil. Woo, we're going to do it in just a minute. Let me move on. When he has anointed your head with oil, it creates an environment where friction is not possible. So if you're causing friction in the body of Christ, don't tell me you're anointed. Years ago, had a couple come to church. And they wanted to minister in the church. And we wasn't as large as we are right now. But I was still smarter than I should have been. Because they said, Pastor, we were so and so. They called their name. And I won't call them in case y'all know them. Or in case they hear. And they said, Pastor, we're so and so. And God has sent us to minister at your church. I said, well, what church are you from? And they said, well, we don't really go have a home church. Red flag number one. You don't have a home church. So if you're not under authority, how can you have authority? Hear me now. If you're not under authority, how can you have authority? So that point number one. And then they said, well, we're just stirrers. And she actually did this. We're actually stirrers of the body of Christ. I go, I got enough stirrers. I'm afraid of what you're going to stir up. So, no, you ain't going to minister up in my house. Listen to me, church. If you stirring up trouble, Maybe it's because that you haven't got the oil. That's why none of the stuff the devil is trying on you is sticking, because you got the oil. You're not perfect, you're just anointed. You don't even make good decisions, but you're anointed. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but how many of you are so glad that the anointing was bigger than your stupid mistakes that you made? That the anointing was bigger than your own mind. Oh, my Lord. I've made so many dumb decisions and dumb mistakes, but the anointing caused it not to stick on me. If not for the oil, you'd be divorced. If it wasn't for the oil, you quit your job. That's why you can't lose your mind over what you lost, because you're going to need it for what he's about to send you. Somebody shout, I'm covered. I'm covered. My head is anointed. All right, point number three is this. In Leviticus 8:12, it said pour oil on the head of his kids. And talking about Aaron, he said take oil and pour on the head of Aaron and all of his sons. I believe that God is about to pour out a family anointing. A family anointing. Go ahead and get ready. Go ahead and get ready. God's about to pour out a family anointing. You know what? Listen, I have prayed over my children almost every day of their life. When they were small, I would go into their bedroom and anoint them with oil. I would wait till they were asleep. Wait a minute, Pastor. Why would you wait for their when they were asleep? Because when they're asleep, you get no argument. Are you listening to me? Because I anoint them while they rest at night, because they might be able to wake up and win an argument against me, but while they are asleep, they can't say nothing. I anoint them, and but they can't beat the oil. Come on, somebody. You see, listen, I anointed my doors. When we first moved into my house, I anointed my doors, my windows. I said, my house is anointed. And I make sure that it is. And periodically, I still anoint. We have intercessors that come around here and pray. Matter of fact, I had to talk to them because they were anointing everything. You'd get up here, try to play the keyboard and just slide off the keys. Like, wait, what is all this stuff for? What? You can't be anointing the key. You don't do the keys. There was oil stains everywhere. Like, y'all can't do that. Come on, somebody. You go around right now, you look at some of the doors, there's some smear. It's oil. Why? Because we want the oil applied. I need the oil applied. All the furniture, when something is anointed, it is obvious. You can walk around my house and see some oil marks. But, Pastor, isn't it obvious that if I anoint my children, it marks them for the enemy? And since the devil despises the anointing, doesn't it mark my children? Yeah, it does. But I want to take you back to Leviticus. That everywhere the oil was applied, the blood was sprinkled. Everywhere the oil was applied, the blood was sprinkled. And the Bible says that the devil can't cross the bloodline. He can't cross the bloodline. So you might anoint your child with oil, but Jesus anoints your child with blood. Come on, somebody. The oil will attract what is right and repel what is wrong. Some of you single women need, instead of putting perfume on, need to put some oil on your hands, so that when your man shakes your hand, just smile and let the oil do its job. How you doing? How you doing? Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, let the oil attract what it needs to attract, and let it repel what needs to be repelled. Come on, somebody. You get that sly sucker, come on here, and trying to do some game. By God, the oil. Hey, what's up with that? No, sir. Don't be upset. Quit trying to look for him and let God bring him. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody, I'm blessed. I'm not perfect, but I got the oil. Ooh, wait a minute, Pastor. I got the oil. Let me tell you something. You don't deserve the oil. Wait a minute, Pastor. You've been preaching for 40 minutes about the oil. That's right. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But because of what he did, I get the oil. When you have the oil, you have favor. So we need the oil, but you can't waste it. Now listen to me. Don't allow your oil to put you in a place where you can't return to where it was when he first anointed you. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Some of us forget where God brought us from. Some of us got, we finally got to where we can rub two nickels together and forgot we used to have to shop at Goodwill. Come on, somebody. You're upset. You can't forget where God brought you from. Now, God's given us a great church, but I remember. Matter of fact, I was talking to Elijah today. Just remember back when we was in the old church. Come on. I remember where God brought me from. I remember when I was in Bluntstown. I remember when we started with 40 people. I remember where God brought us from. Don't ever get so lofty-minded that you can't remember where God brought you from. And if God can do it for me, because I know me, He can do it for you, you, and you. He can do it for you because I know where God has brought me from. The oil. King Saul started seeking the glory for himself and forgot he was just... See, some of y'all don't know this story. But when Saul was anointed king, he was just out hunting donkeys. Some donkeys got loose from his father. And he went out, him and a servant went out looking for the donkeys and ran into Samuel. And Samuel anointed him king. Now, I could preach right there for a little while. Some of y'all keep waiting for the kingship to come. But you think you're too good to look for donkeys. You think you're too good to work in the nursery. Hold the door open for somebody. Greet somebody in the parking lot. You think you. See, that's how you get anointed. Is by just doing what you know to do. Listen, when God called me to preach, I wasn't wanting to preach. I just wanted to play the piano. I done told the Lord, Lord, I would be a good church member if you'll just let me do this. So watch the oil and watch the object. We put the oil on. Do I have another one? That's my last one. So either, I don't know which one. I'm not trying to trick you. Either Wednesday night or Sunday, I'm going to talk about don't waste your oil. On the different types of people not to waste your oil on. But we're picking up where we left off with King Saul. Saul had been anointed somewhere between 10 and 16 and he lost the oil. And God spoke to Samuel and said, Samuel, go anoint a new king out of Jesse's house. And when Samuel went to anoint the new king out of Jesse's house, in our text, God said, fill up your horn with oil. And so he goes in, and all of Jesse's sons are lined up from the oldest to the tallest on down, the writer says. And he looks at the oldest and says, surely this must be him. And God said, that's not him. I've rejected him. So quit trying to pour your oil on people that God has rejected. Some today are so weary because you're going around wasting your oil trying to give it to people who God did not call you to. You're trying to supply a limited oil to an unlimited amount of people, and then the friction shows up because you wasted your oil. I'm not going to finish it later. You to stand to your feet today. Would you go to A? See, when Saul ran out of oil, he began to, instead of giving God glory for the battles he won, he began to read his own press and start taking credit for it. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, he begins to go after his brothers and sisters of the Lord. And so some of you, it's a sign that your oil has run out. Some are being led back to an old habit. Your oil's run out. It's a sign that your oil's running out. I want you to bow your heads with me. And I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but if you don't know Jesus, that's the beginning, man.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.